Welcome to Winning the Global Talent War, a podcast about how leaders around the world are approaching global talent acquisition. I'm Jonathan Romley, CEO and co-founder of Lundy. My guest today is Manjiri Sinha, Global Head of Talent Acquisition at OLX. Manjiri has more than 17 years of international recruitment industry experience. Her forte is building technology organizations in hypergrowth. She loves the pace and the excitement of scaling. In this episode, we talk about how talent acquisition has changed and what the future TA professional will look like. So let's dive in. Hey, Manjiri.
Hi.
Where are you in the world?
I'm based in Berlin, Germany.
Is Berlin a big tech hub for your company?
We have our tech hubs all across, actually. So we have a tech hub in Germany. Poland is a big tech hub. We have a tech hub in Portugal, remote tech hubs in Romania and Ukraine. And India is one of our big tech hubs. And we hire tech in Latin America as well.
For anyone that doesn't know, what is OLX?
OLX is an e-commerce platform where you can buy and sell. It's operating across 30 plus countries. We help people buy and sell cars, find housing, get jobs, buy and sell household goods, and much more with that.
You're responsible for product, data, and technology recruitment globally. How many people are on the team?
2,700 plus people.
How much is the team growing?
We're looking at 30 to 40% growth in the overall technology team for next year. And this year, we saw similar growth. In certain pockets, we might see more than a 50% growth as well.
How do you do that?
That's the trick. With the current scenario in the market, a lot of tried and tested playbooks are out of the window. So we have to innovate, adjusting to the ecosystem of the market demand, adjusting to what is the context, what are the drivers. That's super important. So that's how we, you know, plan our budgeting. That's how we look at building up the capacities and resources to deliver this and looking at different channels. It's not just external hiring. It's also about mobility. It's also about internal skilling up and training and really planning on what we can grow from within and what we can hire from outside.
How is talent acquisition changing?
Evolution is having a seat at the table in our industry. A lot of us nurse this impression that talent acquisition comes in when what do we need to hire has been decided, or how many do we need to hire has been decided. You decide all the budgets, done and dusted, and you hand over this budget of headcount to the talent acquisition team. And now we will run with how to hire them. No, that has shifted. We need the TA team at the table while we are deciding how many to hire, what to hire, and where to hire. Because these three actually have an impact on whether we can deliver or not, whether we can achieve that kind of headcount growth or not.
How can TA professionals manage unrealistic hiring demands?
That's a part and parcel of anybody who's been in TA or led TA teams. We call this pink unicorns. Of course, yes. Find a PhD who's ready to move from this part of the world to the other part of the world, can speak five languages and so on and so forth. Also, sometimes unrealistic numbers in countries where that kind of talent doesn't even sit or is not ready to relocate. I wouldn't say it is intentional. It is also because of lack of knowledge. And that's where the evolution of the TA role has come into play now. We need to be more data-driven. So if we are giving this insight to a hiring manager, and irrespective of the organization, if you're telling the hiring manager that this is unrealistic, I think telling why is it unrealistic is going with that data, looking at simple statistics from LinkedIn Talent Insights. What is the kind of talent? If you're looking for a particular technology stack, what is the kind of talent available in that market that you're looking in? Number one. Number two, what is your usual pass-through rate? So if you need to reach out to 200 people to make one hire, is it possible with that kind of pass-through rate in that market to even make one hire for that matter? That's the reality, and that's the discussion to be done with the hiring manager with concrete data.
Does local experience matter? Is it important to have local talent experts in the markets where you're hiring?
It does, to an extent. However, it's also access to those resources. Most of the technology talent does speak English, and that's where you can lean on LinkedIn Insights data as the first go-to point before going to a particular country and their database and looking for more information. That can give you an idea of, okay, this is a tech stack I'm looking at. These many people are available. These are the companies that they've moved in and out of in the last couple of years. This gives me a general sense and general idea of where to deep dive into. And then, of course, it does help to have expertise on the ground to have some experience in that particular country.
The role of the TA team in an organization is evolving. What still needs to change?
I think there's a lot of opportunity in hiring for potential than hiring for failure. It happens when I'm hiring as well for my team. When I'm hiring a recruiter in my team, I need to look at potential and I need to see what are the four aspects where I can grow this person or train this person and what would be the opportunity that I have in this person. There's a lot of gap in what companies want in numbers and what is available in the market. That demand supply gap is huge. And if you want to scale, I think that's where the opportunities come into play, as in, can we hire for potential? Can we look at the job descriptions and not have a list of 16 items to select, but rather look at the four mandatory aspects and then nice to have, and what can we train? What can we bring people in for and then train and upskill? I think that's still a huge potential and opportunity for organizations.
What's your approach to global recruitment?
So there are two things at play. One is, where is the talent? And that's also one of the reasons why we are in Germany, to ensure that we have great talent on board. So yes, we look at where is the talent, but we also don't want business units to be really spread across the whole world. So for example, our tech hub in Berlin, yes, we are hiring for the role in Berlin, but we also have business units that would hire across Poland and Ukraine and Romania. So that puck is distributed in these three countries. We're hiring full remote in Poland, we're hiring full remote in Romania, and we are hiring full remote in Ukraine. What does that mean? That is, yes, you can have a remote contract, but it will be with our entity, which is in Poznan, which our entity in Kiev and our entity in Bucharest. And you can be anywhere in that country. However, you belong to one business unit. So that's the hybrid approach we take to ensure that we have team engagement. And that's where the business unit spread is not super disparate. But we also ensure that we take advantage of our hubs and the available talent in that market.
And how's recruiting going in Poland and Ukraine right now? I had a conversation with a recruiter today that said, yeah, it's fine. Everything is going really well in Poland. So long as you're a product company and you pay 20% over market, you will have everybody you want.
That's exactly how things are going at the moment. I think it's a tough competition and tough market. In a lot of organizations are looking already. They've looked into it. There's a lot of American companies, even companies from the UK, that have opened the remote hubs and aligned with different agencies and offering remote contracts in Poland. So the market has definitely picked up. One of our advantages still stay that we've gone remote in Poland since last year. This was an experiment that one of our leaders in the organization tried and tested even before remote was a thing. So this was interesting and super innovative on the part of OLX in Poland. So that's still an advantage. However, it is getting heated up. And that's also one of the reasons why we expanded into Romania and Ukraine, which were not our tech hubs before 2020.
If I'm in Ukraine, I'm hired in Ukraine. Can I go to Bali?
No. This is something that not a lot of organizations have been able to figure out. There's a challenge. So we do have to stay within the legal and taxation boundaries. And these are the government-laid boundaries. So this is something that we have to abide by. And that's where our remote possibilities are for technology teams. And they are for these countries and they're aligned to the entity there. So yes, we have our OLX entity, we have OLX Tech Hub, and we can offer remote as a possibility, but within the confines of the country. And unfortunately, not from Bali. And then there's other aspects to it. For example, we have a lot of expats. I myself, I'm an expat in Germany. I do have a permanent residence, but it is also linked to the fact that first, I can't stay outside of Germany and European Union for more than a certain days. Otherwise, there's a tax and residence permit implication on me. So all these things tie up and it just gets more complicated. And the paperwork is huge and super complicated and can go really case by case, which is not scalable.
You've lived all over the place in 5 or 6 different countries. You've had a unique experience for sure in each country. How is recruitment and HR in India different?
With technology and product companies, it's not very different. I can joke about the Indian subcontinent and the differences. If you post a position, you get thousands of applications. That even happens today. So that's something where our recruiters in India still have a challenge. And that, of course, doesn't happen on the European subcontinent. You don't get thousands of applications when you post a job. But I can actually, on the serious side, talk about a difference in the HR and TA community. One aspect which I lacked in India, even working with a firm like Accenture, was the knowledge sharing aspect. And that's something that I'd really praise when I move to Europe and even in different countries, whether you talk about Sweden, Czech Republic, or in Germany, the European TA community is very open to share knowledge, to discuss problems and find solutions together. We do it in forms of meetups or webinars or conferences or even Slack groups as such. But that openness of sharing without having second thoughts and having to think about, hey, is knowledge power or something like that, I think that's something that I really missed back in India. It's catching up now. There are certain forums that are pushing this. And with the push into a lot of startups in the last couple of years in India, I think that trend is changing. But that's a huge difference from what we see in India as in the community as compared to what we see in Europe.
How many people are on your team?
It would be somewhere around 36 plus people.
And are they all recruiters?
Recruiters, candidate experience specialists, sources, and we work in a 70-30 model that is full-time recruiters who are a part of the team. And then we also work with vendors. So their team members or RPO partners are embedded into our team as well.
You've got a target to grow 2,700 people now by 40% in the next year. So more than 1,000 people. Will you expand your team in order to support that growth?
Oh, absolutely. So with the current market scenario everywhere, be it India or Europe, we are looking at high dropout rates. We are looking at lesser offer acceptance rate. So we have to increase the buffer of offers as well that we make. We have to increase the number of reach outs that we are making in the industry. And with that, absolutely have to add on to my team as well. Close to something like a 60% increase.
How are you going to do that in such a competitive market?
Going to a model that I've worked with previously, and that's the sourcing recruiting model. We tested it in India in the last two quarters, and it has worked very well. It does render time and efficiency for the recruiters, as well as areas of expertise for our sourcing partners who can engage in the community. Taking advantage of our embedded RPO, still keeping that 70-30. So our vendors also supporting in the growth with adding on more RPO partners, and of course, hiring and growing from within.
How do you bring more recruiters onto your team?
Number one, I think it begins from leaders and managers in your TA team itself that are magnets. People who are known to be good leaders. For a recruiter, it's very important to know whether this person will be taking away all the noise, will ensure that the recruiter has less obstacles and simple ways to do things. That's what they look at when they're looking at a leader. Yes, there are a lot of opportunities in the market. But what I hear when I'm talking to recruiters is that a lot of the organizations where these opportunities are also very chaotic. And if you don't have the right level of TA leadership, then that chaos comes directly on the shoulders of the recruiter who needs to be rid of that chaos. You're clued in, you're plugged in, you go source, you hire. So you need that ecosystem, you need that environment. You need to have leaders who are known for this, who are able to do this and protect the recruiting segment. The second very important aspect is, as this role of a recruiter is so much in demand today that it is an organization's responsibility to create the hiring culture. It's not just a recruiter's problem to bring people on board, but everybody, all hands on deck, ensuring feedback is in place, having enough number of interviewers, ensuring that we can come back on decisions, ensuring that we have all the information on comp and benefits available right away for the recruiters. Laid out, understandable, quick processes, fast decision-making, anything that is making their work easier is what recruiters look at. The other aspect is efficiency in decision-making, because negotiation has become a big part for candidates. They have multiple offers. How fast can I come back to, say, the HR team, the CNB team? And is this facilitated for me? Is that process really worked out and obstacles are reduced or not? And overall, what is the perspective of the organization? Is the organization only looking at hiring as its whole sole solution? Or are they investing equally on retention, equally on building skills internally and growing people internally? These are aspects that recruiters are asking about even in their interviews today. So if we can focus and give them this view and be transparent, there'll always be a strand of an uncertainty and there'll always be need for resilience there. However, if certain aspects are in place and the processes are in place, and that's where recruiters really are akin to work with.
How do you rid your recruiters of the chaos?
The structure of the team is very important. The TAs build up that you do, or the team structure that you do, should be built up in some ways that you have your layers. If you have a rule like 6 people to 1 manager, so that there are not too many people that a manager has to hold, you can also do something like a one-on-one marking. That means the stakeholders that need more attention or have higher priority would have certain senior recruiters to go to that can be their only touch point. Also ensuring the spread of positions and vacancies, not having 13 different vacancies across 13 different hiring managers. Then the recruiters will have to spend most of their time in coaching these hiring managers. So even if they have a lot of vacancies, but across two hiring managers, that's always a simple way to look at. So delegation, the TA team structure, and what kind of relationships can you ensure on the stakeholder map that removes or reduces the obstacles and noise that the recruiters hear.
What are your efficiency expectations? Is there a number?
You look at the industry benchmarks, there are companies that are at 1.2 per month, 1.8 hires in technology. There are companies that are around 3.2 hires in technology, averaging out somewhere at 2 or 2.5 hires in the technology market. Also differs for product companies and service companies. And I personally like to see it in a holistic fashion. It's not just about the numbers. It's also about how you are coaching your stakeholders. Of course, the ultimate delivery is the butts on seats, but that's not the only merit. The highest winner will not be somebody who has the highest numbers on the hiring card. It'll be a complete ecosystem of innovation, of guidance to your stakeholder, advice to your stakeholder. What kind of data-driven decisions have been driven in the space? What aspects have changed in the space as well? What influencing techniques have been used in the space? And all that actually does turn into a number, but it's not the main aspect that I personally look at.
So speaking of holistics, there's a lot that has been said about artificial intelligence, about AI and its role in sourcing. I saw that you're on the D&I committee. So I'm really interested in your opinion about this. There's so much out there about how algorithms tend to be more exclusionary, actually. Yeah. Are you using any tools like that? And if you are, what are your thoughts about all
this? No, first of all, no, we're not using any AI-based tools for hiring for technology at all. There's not been any AI-based tool that has been able to convince me completely that, yes, it's rid of that virus. I think it's a gray area at the moment. Nobody has really come out saying that, yes, this is something that we can use and it has no bias in it. What kind of data is driven into that tool? Unless we know that what has really gone into it, we don't know what comes out of it.
How important is the human connection in recruitment?
So it's very important. There's a lot of talk about, hey, will robots take over recruiters' role? I don't think so. That won't happen. The human connection and the human touch is really important. It's a life decision. And that's the impact that we pride ourselves on as recruiters, that this is the impact that we are making on people's lives, having an opportunity to move them across the world and opening up doors. The human connection for sure is important. This is where you would be spending in our present life, yes, I'm sitting at home right now, but still I'm spending maximum time with my colleagues on Zoom and not with my family. It's super important to know who you're going to work with, to understand the culture of the organization, to understand what you can add on as a culture add to the organization as well. And without human connection, that doesn't work out.
How do you think recruiting will change in the next 5 years?
Jonathan, if you would ask this question to someone 5 years ago, would they know what will happen in 2021?
Oh, no
I don't
way.
Think so, right?
If you would ask in December of 2019 if I thought the world would look like this, I also wouldn't have guessed. I think the whole world wouldn't have guessed.
Exactly. We wouldn't know that 2021 will be sitting in a bubble where you'll have more recruiter vacancies than software developer vacancies. I read from a lot of experts that this bubble might go on for at least a year or two. There'll be a plateau for sure. There'll be demand for a very different kind of a TA professional. You would need somebody definitely proactive and not reactive. The role itself of talent acquisition as a center of excellence, I see that being elevated, see that being really strategic at the top 4 or 5 positions for an organization, an advocate, an advisor that most organization builders cannot do without. That's something that I see as the future for the role. Technology will be an enabler, but technology will not replace this function for sure. I think every person in the organization is a recruiter. When people ask you, where do you work? And you take pride in telling them, where do you work? What do you work as? That's as much as being a recruiter yourself. And that's the secret. If we unravel ourselves, or even if branding teams can support this, there can be immense potential that can be opened up. Imagine an organization with 30,000 employees all feeling like a recruiter, that they're presenting their brand always. So that's the secret. We need to unleash that.
If everyone is a recruiter, how does the role of the TA team change?
TA team changes with enablement. So everybody will be a recruiter, yes, but you'll still be the owners of guiding the process through, owners of hand-holding the candidate and being an advocate for the candidate, we need to also remember that our first customer in our stakeholder map should be the candidate. It's a candidate-driven market. In tech, it has always been a candidate-driven market for the past couple of years. That has not changed for us as a fact. So the advocacy for the candidate, ensuring the efficiency, delivery overall, that's something that's the TA team's accountability. But pitching and attractiveness and sharing what the organization is, what is unique about the organization, that is something that everybody in the company can do.
Manjari, thanks so much.
To all the folks out there who are in the TA profession, a big thank you for what all of you are doing in the space and in this competitive market at the moment. Hold your chin high, be super bold, and keep on driving initiatives on candidate advocacy, on diversity and inclusion, and on ensuring that you have the right and inclusive hiring practices all across.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for spending some time with me today.
Hold up.
And thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, share it with a friend, your colleague, or your talent team. If you have questions you want me to ask in a future episode or issues that you want to know more about, connect with me on LinkedIn. I've added the link in the show notes. So, hear you next week. Take care. All that. Bye-bye.